This is a really exciting year for Miss Beth and I. For one thing, in just a few days, I have a new book coming out. It's at the printer right now, entitled Jimmy the Disciple, An Insider's View of Walking with Jesus and the Twelve. It struck me one day that I'm named after one of the disciples, James. So I wrote a book, The Disciple Jimmy. An Insider's View of Walking with Jesus and the Twelve. And what I did, I wrote it in the first person, just like I'm there, like James was there, and the things that happened, and the marvels of all the wonderful things that were going on, and how we reacted to what Jesus was doing and saying. Some of it's very humorous. Some of it's just very, probably the way we would have reacted to some of the things that were happening. So that book's coming out in just a few days. And then Miss Beth and I, on the 22nd of May, are going to be boarding the African Mercy. You have heard of the Mercy ships. The African Mercy is ministering off the coast of East Africa on the island of Madagascar. It's docked there now. And so we will fly to Madagascar. And for 2 months, we'll be missionaries on this medical ship that's ministering to hundreds and hundreds and thousands of suffering Africans who have come aboard the ship for ministry. We're really excited about it. When we applied, the only thing that was left open was a dining room staff. So we said, okay, we just go serve tables. So we were accepted as dining room staff, and that you know, we'll work 45 hours a week in the dining room. It's the only place I know of where you go and work and you have to pay to work. It's kind of unique. We'll have to raise money to be able to go there and pay to work. But we feel like it's going to be a great adventure in life. Did not the early deacons, didn't they start serving tables? Yeah. That's where they started. So we'll just go over there and do that. At the end of our application, it said summary. A lot of applications, a lot of details. All of your degrees and schooling and medical, all that. It said summary. And so I just realized, I said, we are happy to come and serve tables, but I can also teach the Bible, and I can also cook breakfast, and I can also catch enough fish to feed this whole ship. And she told me, she said, we have never had an offer like that before. So it's going to be fun. 2 months of hard work and ministry aboard the African Mercy. When it leaves Madagascar, we will sail to Durban and go into dry dock in Durban, which is, of course, Cheryl's hometown. And so that's going to be exciting, too, being in both of those places. So it's a good year. It's a good year for us. I hope it's a good year for you. Let's ask the Lord to help us now in teaching the Bible. Father, thank you for this opportunity to open the Bible. We believe that this is not just the Word of man, it's the Word of God. And because it's the Word of God, it'll get in us, it'll change us, it'll make us like Jesus. So that's our prayer this morning, that we be more like Him, because we have heard and believed and received the Word of God. In His name we pray, amen. Both of my parents were only children. Therefore, I never had an aunt, I never had an uncle, I never had a first cousin. If we ever ran into a third cousin, that was really exciting to us. But we used to go to East Texas. We grew up in Port Arthur, and we would make the trip up into East Texas. It seemed like an all-day journey. There was only 150 miles, but it seemed like an all-day journey. And we would go to East Texas to visit my dad's uncles. My grandfather had, there were five boys and one girl in the family, so there was plenty of great aunts and great uncles up there for us to visit. And my favorite one of all of the great uncles to visit was Uncle Wes and Aunt Alice. They lived up a red dirt road at the top of a hill, a big white house there, big barn. And my brothers and I used to always go out there and play in the barn and in the hayloft, climbing around in the hay. We'd get over in the corn crib and throw corn cobs at each other. And it was always fun. Right down the road from the house, there was a sharecropper's little, it was really just a little shack. And there was a little black boy named TJ who lived there. And TJ was my buddy. Whenever I would come, man, he'd be heading up there to the big house to play with me. And we just had lots of fun times together. One time we were riding a mule together, and the mule decided it had enough of us and ran for the barn, went under a low deal, knocked us both off down into the dirt and other things. And my parents thought we were all hurt. We were just laying down there laughing together, having a big old time. So it was always fun to go to Uncle Wes and Aunt Alice's house. But the thing that always impressed me most about their place was right beside the kitchen door, there was a well, you know, round with stones and concrete, had a little teepee roof over it, and a winch with a big bucket. And that was the water supply for the house. And we'd go out there with Aunt Alice when she needed water, and she'd trip a little release, and the bucket would fall way down. It was a pretty deep well for East Texas. It hit the water, and then you could either wind it up or you could actually pull it up if you wanted to and pull up a big bucket of cold, clear, clean water. Now, remember that story now as we read the scripture. Remember that story that I just told you. I'm going to read from Isaiah 12 in verse 2. I'm actually going to read verse 3, but I'm going to read the second verse also, but verse 3 is where we're going. Isaiah 12, 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid." That was D.L. Moody, the great famous evangelist. That was his favorite verse in all the Bible. "I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation." Now notice the four key words in the verse: joy, water, wells, that's plural, salvation. "Therefore with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation." Now we probably all know that in the Bible, water pictures the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's in the form of wells, sometimes springs, sometimes fountains, or rivers, or rain, or dew, but water is always a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. So therefore, with joy shall you draw water, shall you draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation. You see that? With joy, you'll draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation. Joy is the bucket. It's the bucket. Or to say it another way, joy, the Holy Spirit is attracted to joy. He is not particularly attracted to negative, complaining, grumbling, mumbling people. But he is attracted to those who have a joyful lifestyle. You go, "Brother Jimmy, how do you get this joy?" Well, Psalm 16:11 says that in thy presence is fullness of joy. You want more joy in your life? Just start hanging out more with the Father and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In his presence is fullness of joy. Practice his presence. Praise God. Because joy always comes when we're in his presence. Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is not food and drink, it's not material things, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Notice how joy and the Holy Spirit are intricately related. Jesus said in John 15:11 that "I've spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Now, how much joy we have is determined by how much of Jesus' joy we receive. He was the most joyful person that ever lived, the Bible tells us. And he says that my joy is in you, that your joy may be full. So however much of his joy we appropriate, praise God, then that's how big our bucket is. So what I'm saying to you is you can have a big bucket. It has nothing to do with personality types. I have a problem with teachings in the church that talk about personality types and say, well, some people are joyful and some people aren't. This has nothing to do with personality types. It has to do with Jesus' joy and how much of his joy you're willing to receive in your life. So I'm saying to you, you can be a joyful person. You can have a big bucket from which you can draw from the wells of salvation. So with joy, shall you draw water, shall you draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation. Now let's just talk about the water for a minute, about Holy Spirit for a moment. Now I love the Father, and I love Jesus, and I love the Holy Spirit. There was probably a time in my life when I considered the Holy Spirit an it, no longer. He is a person, and I love to walk with him. He is so creative. He's so awesome. He's so varied. I mean, he's like the roaring forest fire, but he's also like tongues of fire upon our head. He's like the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and yet he's the gentle breeze in our hair. He's like a river at flood stage, and yet he's like the still, cool waters in our life. He's so varied, so awesome. I love the Holy Spirit. Now let's get our theology right here for just a moment. Sometimes we talk about that Jesus lives in me. Well, that's yes and no. The second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, who became the Son of Man, named Jesus, is in heaven. He's in bodily form. He has a glorified body, and he's in heaven, and he's praying for us as our great high priest. Is that correct? So the one that lives within me is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said before he left, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And the word another is another one just like me. I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he releases the life of Jesus in us. He is Christ in us, the hope of glory, praise God. We need to always remember that Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. So the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he is constantly unveiling or revealing Jesus to us and releasing his overcoming victorious life through us. That's the one that lives within us, the Holy Spirit. I wrote something down as I was just preparing for this message that I thought was pretty neat. I felt like the Lord was saying to me that the Holy Spirit is the executor of heaven's will. He is the administrator of heaven's resources, and he is the dispenser of the kingdom life that is in Jesus. And so you can't do without the Holy Spirit. You cannot live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. He's the one that lives in you, and he's the one that will release the life of Jesus through you. And to try to do it without him is total futility. And so, therefore, with joy shall you draw water, shall you draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation. Now, let me talk about salvation just a moment and wells. The word salvation is the Greek word soteria. If you went to a conservative theological seminary, you would take a course in soteriology, the study of salvation. And this word soteria, this salvation word, is an all-inclusive word. It is the great word in the New Testament. It is the all-inclusive word of all that God has done for us in the redemptive Christ event. It is the totality of everything that he has provided for us. That is salvation. Sometimes we talk about salvation and then add this and add this and add this. No. It's all included in that wonderful word soteria or salvation. Everything that God has done for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's salvation from sin, it's salvation from sickness, it's salvation from demons, it's salvation from depression, it's salvation from danger. Salvation includes the whole package. Dr. Thayer, in his great Greek lexicon, says that the word soteria or salvation means freedom from the molestation of all enemies. That is the totality of what was done for us at Calvary. To think of it another way, to go back to these wells, salvation is the underground reservoir. It is the full underground reservoir, but it is released to us through the wells. So, therefore, with joy shall you draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation. Plural. Many wells that release the salvation that's in Jesus into our lives. We can just think of a few of them. There's the well of forgiveness, which the Bible term for it is justification, just as if you had never sinned. Justification is that which your sins are forgiven, you're put in right standing with God. Now you can come into His presence because you have been justified. And sometimes we equate justification with salvation. Wrongly. Justification is just one well. One well of salvation. Sometimes we say, well, last night at the revival meeting, 12 people got saved. We'd be more accurate to say, last night at the revival meeting, 12 people were justified. 12 people got their sins forgiven. 12 people were put in right standing with God. Now they're fixed to start experiencing a whole lot of saving. And then, as we begin to walk in Revelation, we begin to see there are other wells more beyond justification. Some people just stop there. That's the only well they know about. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. But He wants to open up many wells of salvation in our life. There's the well of healing. As the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you that when Jesus died upon the cross, not only did He deal with our sins, He dealt with our sicknesses. And by His stripes we're healed. As that revelation begins to come to us, praise God, then we can begin to experience salvation from sickness. That with joy, we draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation, and Holy Spirit begins to release the healing that's in Jesus into our bodies. I remember years ago when Beth and I were pastoring in Pensacola, Florida, pastoring Liberty Church. There was a large church, and we had advertised a miracle healing service to come in a few weeks down the line on a Sunday night. And one of our deacons, Casey Craner, his wife Thelma, had been having back trouble. And so she went to the doctor, and they x-rayed her, and they found she had two very severely disintegrated disc, and the doctor told her the only hope is for you to have surgery. And she said that might be so, but she says we're having a miracle healing service at our church in a few weeks, and she says I'm going to wait till after that because I believe Jesus is going to touch me and heal me at the miracle healing service. So those next few weeks were very difficult for Thelma. She'd come to church, she couldn't sit through a whole church, so she had to go and stand at the back of the auditorium much of the time during those weeks that she was in bed. But every time I saw her, she was just full of joy, saying, Brother Jimmy, I believe Jesus is going to heal me at the miracle healing service. And then that night came, and I taught a simple message on faith, and we had people coming forward to receive prayer for healing, and Thelma came forward. Beth and I anointed her with oil, laid our hands on her, and prayed for her. Her back is still hurting. I said, now, Bethy, take her and just begin to walk her across the front of this great auditorium. And we just went on praying for people, and Beth and Thelma are just walking back and forth across the front of the auditorium. People are lying on the floor. They're weaving out in and out of the bodies that are on the floor, back and forth across, all back and forth across the auditorium. And at some point in that healing service, a well of healing was released in her life. The real doctor came and laid his hand upon her, and she was healed of those disintegrating discs. She went back to the doctor. They were completely well. She never had to have the surgery. And every time through the years that I would go back to preach there, this little lady, she's getting old, and she'd come tottering up to me and say, Brother Jimmy, my back is still well. You see, there is a well of healing, all part of the salvation that Jesus provided that releases healing into our life. And then, of course, there's the well of deliverance. God begins to open up revelation to you concerning that this salvation is more than just having your sins forgiven. It's even more than just getting healed from physical diseases. But praise God that there's victory over demons. Some of you may not know it yet, but there is a devil, and he has an army of demons, and he hates the Father, and he hates Jesus, and he hates the Holy Spirit, and he hates you. And he wants to destroy you and your family, your children, your finances, and everything. That's his ministry, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But praise God, in the redemptive Christ event, Jesus not only dealt with our sins and our sicknesses, but he put a thorough whipping on the devil, praise God, to give us salvation over the enemy, deliverance from the enemy. When we were pastoring there in Pensacola, there was a couple named Randy and Carol Wojciechowski, and Polish descent, and they came forward at an altar call and received Christ, were wonderfully born again, justified, put in right standing with God. They had been real characters. I mean, they were wild. They were both from Texas who had moved to Florida. Randy had actually graced the inside of our jail in San Marcos before. He had been up there with some students from Houston visiting some Southwest Texas students, and they were all drunk. He did a chin-up on one of the awnings of one of the businesses in town, pulled the whole awning down, crashed it, and so the police let him visit our jail that night. He said, I've been in the jail in your town before, he told me that. But they had been real wild. But that now they were put in right standing with God and began to grow. And one day, Carol made an appointment to come see me, and she said, Brother Jimmy, she said, I know that I'm born again. I love Jesus. I love everything he's done for me, but she said, there's something in me that loves carousing and drinking and dancing and running around. She says, I don't know what it is. I said, well, I do. I said, it's a demon called the spirit of this age, and I commanded it to come out. I commanded that worldly demon to come out of her right there, right then and there. I said, look, you come out of her. She took a deep breath, expelled it. From that moment, she was free. She was a free woman. No longer wanting to run around out there and carouse and hit the bars and all that. It ended right there. What? She got saved from demons, praise God. She was delivered. That's called deliverance, praise the Lord. And it's part of the salvation that Jesus provided for us at the cross. And then there's another well. We just go on and on. How about the well of strength? The well of strength. Sometimes when we're in the battle, when life gets tough, we get weak, we get tired, we get beat down, and we need strength, we need energy. Well, that's when James 1 and verse 2 says, count it all joy when life gets tough. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Now, why would he tell us to count it all joy when we're in the hard spot? Because joy attracts the Holy Spirit, huh? Therefore, with joy shall you draw water, shall you draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation. And when Holy Spirit begins to come, when we just begin to rejoice in the midst of that trial, we just begin to determine to be happy and to be full of the joy of the Lord, begin to rejoice, then Holy Spirit comes in strength and energy for us to pass through the tough time. So count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Joy draws the Holy Spirit, and he is energy, and he is strength in our lives. Have you ever noticed that whatever you enjoy doing, what you have joy in doing, you have strength to do? That's true in the natural. Whatever you enjoy doing, you find strength to do. For example, my son Tim and I are fanatic duck hunters. We enjoy duck hunting. Duck hunting takes lots of energy, lots of strength. We get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, make our way to the lake or the marsh wherever we're hunting, tie those lay down blinds on our back, a big sack of decoys, big hip boots on or waders, going through the mud, plodding through the mud, It's cold. The wind is blowing. Misty fog. We don't hunt in the rain. Did you know ducks, people think that's good weather to hunt ducks in the rain. Ducks don't have windshield wipers. They don't like to fly in the rain. But they love wind. So here you are on a cold, windy day, and you're plodding through all this mud and setting up your blinds and getting the decoys out. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of energy. And then we're there sometimes for hours laying there waiting for ducks to come. But we always have the strength to do it. Why? Because we enjoy it. Whatever you enjoy, whatever you find have joy in, you find strength to do it. Now, on the other hand, Bethy loves to shop because she enjoys shopping. She has strength to do it. I don't like to shop. Sometimes I have to go with her. And we go through that first store. By the time we're almost through the first store, I'm out of energy. Man, I'm dragging. We hit the second store. She's gaining in power all the time. And I'm dragging, man. I'm looking for the shoe department because I know there's chairs there where I can sit down and rest while she cruises the store. Didn't buy anything. She just goes, looks at it. And, what? Won't you just buy it and bag it and let's go home? No. Look. By the time we hit the third store, boy, she is really cruising, full of strength, full of energy. And I'm just, I need a stretcher. What you enjoy, you find strength to do. Is that right? Praise God. So therefore, with joy shall we draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation. And when Holy Spirit comes, praise God, here comes strength, here comes energy, here comes the ability to get through the situation that we're in. Praise God. That's so simple, isn't it? You know, I was a pastor for a lot of years, many years, and pastoring can be sometimes a bit laborious. It can be very tiring. There have been times when I was pastoring and I've just heard so many problems. People tell me their problems. If I hear one more problem, I'm going to fall over dead. You know, just problems. And then sometimes there's problems in the church. There's division in the church. And then you worked hard all week long, and it's Saturday, and you got to get ready to preach. And it can just be, get really tired and feel like you're under the pile, and just a heavy burden on you. And in those times, I would always try to remind myself that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And whatever is on me is not easy and it's not light. Therefore, it must not be from Jesus. Amen? And so just shake that thing off and begin to rejoice in the Lord and praise God as we begin to rejoice in the Lord. Then comes energy and strength to complete the race. So therefore with joy shall you draw water, shall you draw Holy Spirit from the wells of salvation. Praise God. Let's pray together. I want to pray for people this morning. Say, Brother Jimmy, man, sometimes I just get under the pile. Just get so tired and so beat down. What I want to pray for this morning, I want to just pray that some of that joy that's in Jesus, he says that my joy is in you, that your joy may be full. Just pray that some of that Jesus joy will become your joy. That you just be a release of that joy in your life. And as joy is released, it'll draw water. It'll draw Holy Spirit to energize you and strengthen you. And encourage you. Praise God. That's what I want to pray for this morning. We want to pray for a release of the joy of Jesus in your life. And that release of joy will draw Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, this has nothing to do with personality types. You say, well, I'm just about personality. I'm just a sour person. We'll get over it. Get over it. He wants to release His joy in you so that you can be a joyful person. And when you're joyful, you're going to have energy and strength to do the task at hand. So I'm going to pray. The moment I finish praying, any of you want to, would like for us to lay hands on you and pray for that release of joy in your life, the minute I pray and finish praying, I want you to make your way here to this altar. Father, we thank You and we bless You for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that Holy Spirit is here. He's here to energize. He's here to release the joy that's in Jesus into our life. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We love the Holy Spirit. We love Him. Just as we love You, Father, and we love You, Jesus, we love Holy Spirit. And so we just pray this altar now be full of the Spirit of God, full of that creative person, full of energy and strength and power. Lord, fill Your people full of joy that we may live and walk in the joy of the Lord. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed. Now, any that need prayer for that, you want me just to pray for you for a release of joy. I want you to get up from where you are, make your way here to the altar. We'll wait just a few moments. Some are coming. We'll wait for others. Just come and find your way here. We're not going to pray long prayers. I do not pray long prayers.